Major changes are likely coming for the U.S. economy. Will you be ready for them? Hi, I'm Rob West. We have a new president who's pledged to overhaul the economy. How will that affect investors and the markets? Mark Biller joins us today with a plan for managing anticipated disruption. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest again today is Mark Biller, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. Mark's here to give us some investing insights to guide us through Trump 2.0. Mark, great to have you back with us.
Well, glad to be here, Rob.
With the inauguration, Mark, of President Trump for his second presidential term happening yesterday, a lot of folks, of course, would like to know what you and your team are thinking about what may lie ahead for investors. But before we dive into your thoughts about the future, what clues, Mark, can we glean from a quick review of last year?
Yeah, that's actually a great place to start, Rob, because SMI has always cast a skeptical eye on trying to forecast the future. You know, one of the benefits of doing this for 35 years is we've seen how poorly most forecasts tend to perform. So instead of forecasting, we try to teach our members how to build robust portfolios that can withstand a wide variety of market conditions. And a big part of that for us is using trend following strategies to keep us aligned with what the market's actually doing instead of trying to guess ahead of time how to position our portfolios for what the market might be doing 6 months from now or 12 months from now. So it's very relevant to start this conversation with what the recent market trends have been. That's usually a much better starting point than a forecast. So having said all of that, the last 2 years have been very strong for stocks. In fact, you could make a case the last 2 years have been the strongest two-year period ever for the S&P 500.
Wow.
And the past few years have been equally poor for bonds. Now, starting points really matter in investing, and stocks are already at today's starting point as richly valued as they've ever been. So as we look at some of the potential policy changes, the things we're about to discuss, we need to keep that in mind and kind of view them through the framework of, are these things that are likely to take historically rich stock market valuations and push them even further, even higher, or are they things that potentially represent catalysts to kind of bring the market valuations back towards a more normal historical level?
Yeah, that's really helpful, Mark. And it's worth pointing out that higher interest rates have been a stumbling block for the market at various points over the past few years as well. All right, what factors are you watching for the stock market in particular?
Yeah, there's an old market saying that bull markets don't die of old age. And a lot of times people will say, they'll add, they're usually murdered at the end of that statement. And the point is that we shouldn't get nervous just because a bull market has lasted a while, because most bull markets do end because of a specific catalyst. And usually those catalysts fall into one of two categories, either interest rate hikes or recessions. And we've just watched the Fed cut interest rates three times for a total of 1% in the last quarter of 2024. Given that, pivoting to a rate hiking cycle seems really unlikely, even if the Fed has signaled that they probably aren't going to do a lot more cutting. So it's probably safe to take interest rate hikes off of the short-term worry list, at least in terms of killing the bull market in stocks.
Yeah, interesting. All right, well, it's going to be a fascinating year as we watch all of this unfold. Mark, we'll have an opportunity to continue to unpack this throughout the broadcast today. Folks, let me also mention, while Mark is here, this is a great time to get your investing-related questions in the mix today. How should you navigate this market? What about your 401k? What if you've been in bonds, which have struggled over the last few years? Is this a time to think more positively about that portion of our portfolio, or perhaps money that's been in CDs, should you put it to work now in a fixed income portfolio? We can talk about all of that and more. Your questions for Mark Biller, 800-525-7000. Call right now, 800-525-7000. What's ahead for our new president and the economy? We'll talk more about it right after this. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
If you had an apple tree in your backyard, but you wanted another one, would it work to cut off a branch, place it on the ground, and then expect apples to grow from that? Obviously, it doesn't work that way. Likewise, spiritual fruit does not grow if you're cut off from Christ. Jesus says in John 15, "No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So if you want to see spiritual growth, your life must be united to Christ, a branch that is alive because it's attached to the great vine. Only then will you see fruit bearing in your life for God's glory. Grow in your walk with Jesus through Anchor Devotional. Try it out today. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
When you begin to worship and praise God, you become very much aware of His magnificent greatness. And all of a sudden, the things that are going on in your life begin to pale into insignificance when you see them in comparison to God.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Hope, an Anchor for Life, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions today specifically related to investments, the market, the economy, your portfolio. Reason being, Mark Biller is here. Mark's our good friend. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. And Mark, you've been walking alongside God's people for a long time, going back to the founding of SMI with Austin Prior, helping them not only think about the intersection of faith and money, but specifically providing very specific recommendations on their investments through the SMI newsletter, right?
Yeah, that's right, Rob. And honestly, one of the challenges when I come on and have these conversations with you is that we do change our positions from time to time. And this conversation today is a great example. We're going to talk about how, you know, today there really are not a lot of big warning signs. There are not big trend changes on the horizon that we see. We think the current trends are really strong and we're fully positioned, fully invested. But what we're going to talk about a lot today are some of the potential catalysts that could change that. And so I always get just a little nervous because I'll come on today and talk about how things are great and we're fully invested, but knowing that, say, 3 months from now or 6 months from now, as we monitor the very things we're going to be talking about today through the course of the program, that that could change. And so that's really the benefit of our service for our investors, is that they walk along with us. And as these trends, I talked about our trend following strategies, well, eventually those trends will change. And we don't know if that's going to be in a month or 6 months or a year from now. But when they do, we'll help our investors move with the market and hopefully, you know, take some of the sting out of the drawdowns and certainly give them a lot of emotional peace, knowing that they're following a system that's going to be responding and they're not just going to be blown around by the whims of the market.
Yeah, if you want to make sure you have access to all of that, just check it out, soundmindinvesting.org. We are queuing your questions as well today. We'll get to those in just a moment. If you have a question related to the economy, the markets, where the markets might be headed, or your portfolio, Mark Biller will be answering those here in just a moment. Call right now, though, 800-525-7000. All right, Mark, if rate hikes are unlikely to the end of to end the 2025 bull market, what about a recession? That was obviously front and center a year or two ago. It never materialized. What's your thinking there?
Yeah, well, the short version, Rob, is it's really hard to have a recession when nominal GDP is growing at 6%, the federal government is running huge deficits, the Fed is already cutting interest rates, unemployment is already really low, and business and personal balance sheets are collectively stronger than they've been in years. Just to be clear, this is a very strong setup, a strong economy. And given that we're already in a rate-cutting cycle, the odds of a near-term recession seem really low at present. So that's what I'm talking about when I say, as we look at everything today, there's not a lot to be concerned about as far as flipping into a recession, flipping into a bear market. So I hope that I make that really, really clear to people. None of what we're talking about today is meant to be like a bearish forecast or anything like that. But one of the reasons that we wrote this article that we're talking about today is that while the status quo looks pretty solid for investors right now, President Trump didn't campaign on maintaining the status quo. You know, quite the opposite. You know, some of these proposed changes have at least the potential to create turbulence for investors and financial markets down the road. And a big part of that is simply because these financial markets are currently priced for perfection.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Let's unpack then the changes you foresee from what you're calling in this article we're referencing today. By the way, you can read it, soundmindinvesting.org. Trump 2.0. What should investors expect, Mark?
Yeah, well, given the framework that we just laid out, that the major threats to the market are one, higher interest rates, and two, recession, that's also the framework that we're using to evaluate these possible policy changes. Are they significant enough to cause a recession, and over what time frame? And that's really where we think the bear market risk lies out in the future. Now, it's easy to see why investors and business people are really excited about certain aspects of this Trump 2.0 presidency. That's because things like tax cuts, deregulation, lower energy costs, these are all staples of conservative politics. They're generally good for business, good for markets. Then again, we shouldn't forget that those policies really were not the primary focus of Trump's campaign. You know, I would summarize one of Trump's main appeals as being that he campaigned as really being the opposite of traditional Wall Street globalist thinking. And basically his message to voters was he believed that global free trade has gone too far, that it's responsible for a lot of America's problems, and that if he was elected, he would work to disrupt and at least reform the global free trade system.
Interesting. So how do you think Wall Street then is going to respond if he moves forward with that promise?
Well, it seems like Wall Street doesn't really believe he's going to follow through on it, and that's partly because it's such an audacious goal. So during Trump's first term, we were often told that we should take Trump seriously, but not literally. In other words, he's always negotiating, trying to make a deal. So if he threatens huge tariffs, it's not that he's actually going to impose them, but rather that's just a negotiating tactic to get what he really wants. And in fairness, there was a lot of that in his first term. And this is where things get tricky, because it sure seems like he's serious about some of these policies this time around. And probably the most important idea we'll discuss today is that U.S. business, and by extension the U.S. stock market, has really thrived largely as a result of the global free trade policies of the last 30 years. And so if global free trade was great for U.S. businesses and propelled the U.S. stock market to these highs that we have today, we have to at least consider the idea that scaling back that global free trade system might have the opposite effect on U.S. stocks. And that, importantly, Rob, I'm not saying that Trump shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And it's also not to say that that would even be a bad thing for the economy. But we have to remember the economy is not the stock market. And so, for example, if we look back at the 1970s, the economy actually ran hot. It was above trend growth of 6 to 9% per year. But it was a really bad period for stocks, largely because they started with really high valuations, like today, and made their way through the 70s towards relatively low historic valuations. So there are a lot of moving pieces in this, is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, that's fascinating. And we're going to continue to unpack this, and specifically why bringing more manufacturing back to the U.S. might not have the best impact on the stock market, even though you said, of course, that's much different than the larger economy. Plus, we'll begin taking your questions in the next segment. Carol wants to talk about how much money she needs to save before she invests. Dan wants to talk about cryptocurrency. Back with Mark Biller after this.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985, 800-557-1985.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that.
We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Mark Biller. We're talking Trump 2.0. What can you expect for the economy and the markets as our new president has pledged to overhaul the economy? We'll pick up where we left off here in just a moment, talking about the implications in the markets related to bringing manufacturing back to the United States, which is something that the president has pledged to do. But first, let's head to the phones. Carol's in Ohio waiting patiently. Go right ahead, Carol.
Hi, I was just wondering what amount of money I need to save to just get into investing. How much do I need to save to even begin? And then what would be my first steps?
Yeah, excellent. So, you know, we always talk in terms of making sure you think about, you know, the priority order of these buckets of money. So we want to start by having at least a little bit of emergency savings. We usually throw out the number $1,500 as a starting point until you pay off any high interest consumer debt. So think credit cards. Now, if you're using them for budgeted items, paying it off, I'm not counting that, but if you're carrying a balance month to month, that needs to be the priority. Once you have that eradicated, or if that's not an issue at all, then we move on to the next priority, which would be 3 to 6 months living expenses in emergency savings. And we'd like for you to take advantage alongside that of any matching you have in a company-sponsored retirement plan, because that's free money. We don't want to miss that. But then we can start thinking about investing. Mark, anything to add to that? And then secondly, how should she begin just in terms of her own investments?
No, I absolutely agree with that. Those are the same priorities that SMI has long taught, you know, the emergency savings first, and then try to take advantage of a retirement plan, especially if you have matching. And I would say, even as we move into, okay, how do I begin investing in those first steps? You know, taking advantage of a retirement plan at work is one of those first steps. You want to invest through the most tax-efficient way that you can. For most people starting out, that is going to be their company 401k or similar if they have one at work. If they don't have a retirement plan at work, then we start usually looking at setting up an IRA, maybe a Roth IRA, especially if it's a younger person, maybe, you know, under 50. I usually would lean towards a Roth IRA as the vehicle to begin investing. And there are a lot of different approaches of as far as what investments do I buy, that sort of thing. But usually the first question that someone needs to answer is, what should my mix of investments be? And usually that boils down to, how much should I be putting in stocks? How much should I be putting in bonds? And that is usually going to be a function of the person's age and their risk tolerance. We have some tools in the Getting Started section of our SMI website that can help people with that. But we also have strategies and some very simple index fund strategies that you can get started investing with very little money, you know, less than $1,000 certainly. And then as you get a little bit more complicated in some of the strategies and what you're trying to do, sometimes you'll run into higher minimums for certain mutual funds and things like that. But you definitely can get started with a very small amount, Carol. I would encourage you to think about, if you've got a retirement plan at work, starting there. If you don't, I would maybe go to the Sound Mind Investing website and read a couple of our articles about IRAs, the difference between traditional and Roth IRAs, because setting up that account will probably be the big first step, and then you can set up, hopefully, automated monthly contributions into the IRA and start automating that investment process. That's usually what works best for most people in terms of really making it a regular process that can make a lot of ground and make a lot of investing happen automatically over the years. So those are my thoughts. Rob, did I miss anything?
No, I think you're exactly right. Hopefully that'll help. Carol, soundmindinvesting.org would be a great place to begin. And we appreciate your call today. If we can help further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. All right, Mark, crypto, you knew it was coming just in light of what's going on. And by the way, we haven't talked about the Trump meme coin. We're going to have to get to that in a few moments. But let's go to West Virginia. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, how can we help?
I was wanting to know, I already have investments in the stock market, pension, IRAs, and was wondering if this would be a good time to get into crypto.
Yeah, Mark?
Well, Dan, crypto is definitely the deep end of the pool. It is the super high-risk part of the market. And I would make a immediate distinction between Bitcoin, which you probably heard of, and everything else in crypto. And I would be very leery about the everything else in crypto. Definitely you need to do a lot of homework before you do anything over on that side of the line, because it's very high risk. You can lose a lot of money really quickly. As far as Bitcoin goes, that's a little bit probably less risky, although compared to all of your normal investments, Bitcoin is still extremely volatile. It was up 120% last year. So that gives you a, you know, stocks and gold both were up about 25%, and that was a great year for both of those asset classes. So you're talking about a factor of five or six times the risk and potential reward when you step over the line, even into Bitcoin, which is the more conservative end of crypto. I think that Bitcoin, probably you could make an argument, we could do a whole program on this, that Bitcoin is an appropriate extension of how traditional investors have maybe thought about gold. But I would encourage people to start with a very, very, very small allocation to Bitcoin, maybe, you know, 20% of whatever you would normally put in gold. Take a sliver of that gold piece and put it in Bitcoin and start getting comfortable with that risk-return profile before you go any bigger.
Dan, thanks for your call. We'll continue this conversation right after the break. Stay with us.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that his top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't, and then he does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Mark Biller's here today, investing expert, Sound Mind Investing executive editor. We're talking Trump 2.0, what to expect from the economy and the markets based on our new president as of yesterday, Donald J. Trump, and what he has said. And he's kept his promises so far. Just in the first 24 hours, he's been hard at work of those things he pledged. We're seeing a lot of those come to light. There's no reason to think that what he described related to economic policy won't be a top priority for his in the early days even of his administration. What does all that mean for you and your portfolio? We're talking about that. We're also taking your questions today on investing-related topics, 800-525-7000. Just to pick up where we left off, Dan from West Virginia was asking Mark about investing in crypto, and you said, you know what, I separate Bitcoin from everything else, and for that more speculative portion of your portfolio, and that's probably for a more sophisticated investor, Bitcoin could have a place, or as a sliver of your gold allocation. So to the extent we've said 5, maybe 10% in precious metals in a properly diversified portfolio, you're saying carve out a portion of that slice, and maybe that's where crypto goes. Is that an accurate summary?
Yeah, that's where we would position Bitcoin. And in our, like, for example, Rob, in our managed accounts, we don't put our conservative clients in any Bitcoin or any crypto at all. Yep. With, if you drew a line down the middle of our more conservative to more aggressive portfolios, the upper half we will take. We usually have a little bit bigger gold allocation than most advisors will. This last year we've run in that 10%-ish range that you were just talking about. And we will still limit the Bitcoin portion of those portfolios to usually like 1 to 3%. So I'm talking a small amount for more risk-tolerant investors. And if you're doing this on your own and not having someone manage this for you, then I really think, you know, the hurdle's even higher because you need to climb the learning curve yourself of what Bitcoin is, what it represents, what you're investing in. Bottom line, Rob, for most investors, I really don't think they need to do anything in this area. But for those who really are into it and want to climb that learning curve, I think there's an appropriate allocation. Your position sizes in your portfolio have to be connected to the volatility of the asset. And so that's why with like bonds, low volatility, so we can have a high allocation to that without worrying about it. Bitcoin's the opposite, super high volatility, so we need to correct for that by having low allocations to it. Because a small amount of Bitcoin, if it moves a whole lot, you're going to get a much bigger impact because of that volatility. Does that make sense?
It sure does. Yeah. Mark, though, what about those that say, specifically related to Bitcoin for this more sophisticated group of investors, wait a minute, I mean, there's nothing backing it. And to the extent, you know, you could say, well, there's nothing backing, you know, the fiat currency, well, except for the central bank, and we don't have one of those here. So, you know, how do we even think about it, especially given just its wild fluctuations in terms of it being a legitimate investment?
Yeah, it's like I was saying earlier, Rob, we could do a whole program breaking that down. But I think that a big part of it is that Bitcoin at this point, because of the hard money application of it and the aspects of it with the limited amount and the contrast of Bitcoin being a fixed volume of Bitcoins that will ever be created, you have that hard money argument that people have always made with gold. And so that's why I say that I'm more comfortable with gold, frankly, but part of it is a little bit of a generational argument as well, where younger people tend to be more inclined towards Bitcoin if they're into this hard money idea versus fiat versus governments depreciating the currencies. They look to things like gold, which has been the traditional thing to combat governments debasing currencies. And Bitcoin has come into that conversation as an alternative to gold. So what you tend to see is older investors favor gold, younger investors favor Bitcoin for that specific anti-government debasing my currency purpose within a portfolio. And yeah. So I think that that's where you come into the argument, and that's where I'm saying, Rob, if you're doing this on your own, you really have to do the homework on this exact question to answer for yourself, is that a compelling enough argument for me to include even a tiny piece in my portfolio? And that's not an easy thing. It takes most people a lot of work to kind of figure that out. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, though. It really serves that hard money, I don't want to say anti-government, but it's combating what we're all concerned about, which is governments debasing our dollars and global currencies. And you can go to gold as an alternative to that, or increasingly more people are including Bitcoin in that gold Bitcoin alternative bucket.
Yeah, very good. Dan, thanks for your call today. We appreciate you being on the program from West Virginia there. Let's go to Ohio, Sanford. I know you are wondering about IRA investing while drawing Social Security. How can we help?
Yeah, the question is, though, if I'm on SSI, can I start an IRA with my Social Security check?
Yeah. Mark?
No, I don't think you can, Sanford. One of the conditions is that you have to have earned income, and the definitions of that, I don't believe, include Social Security. You can't. One of the contribution limits with IRAs, the restrictions, is that you can't contribute more than your amount of earned income for the tax year. And I believe that earned income would have to come from some sort of a salary, wage, self-employed business, that sort of income. Is that your understanding, Rob?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So Social Security benefits are not earned income. So you mentioned in your list wages and salaries, tips, self-employment income, even bonuses and commissions. But think paycheck from a job or income from running a business, payments received from Social Security Administration, which include SSDI, survivor benefits, retirement benefits. This is classified as unearned income because it's not derived from current work or employment. So so long as you don't have earned income, Sanford, you would not be able to put into an IRA. But what a lot of people don't realize, though, is there is no age limit So even if you're taking a required minimum or with a Roth where that doesn't apply, anyone of any age can contribute to an IRA so long as you have that earned income. Hopefully that helps clear that up. We appreciate you being on the program today. Well, we're going to take our final break here and then back with Mark Biller. We'll pick up where we started the conversation today, specifically related to our new president, President Donald J. Trump, coming in, has been very outspoken about the economy, his policies, what he's looking for moving forward. And we'll talk about his desire to move manufacturing back to the U.S. and the implications for that related to the stock market. We're also going to look at tariffs and what other policies you should be watching for. Mark Biller here today on Faith and Finance. Back with more after this. Stick around.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
I want to talk about Israel. So, Robert, is this the end of the world we're seeing?
What I can answer, you know, Matthew 24:36 says, no man knows the hour or the day. But I think things are absolutely being set up for what will be the end of times. And what people don't realize is this is ultimately a spiritual conflict.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Mark Biller's here today. We're talking Trump 2.0 and what you might want to expect or think about related to the economy and the markets. Mark, we were talking early in the broadcast about the implications of some of Trump's policies. One of those is this idea of bringing more manufacturing back to the U.S. And you were very clear that may be a great idea for the economy, but that doesn't necessarily mean it will bode well for the stock market. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think what it really boils down to, Rob, is why did U.S. businesses outsource manufacturing in the first place? And the main reason is they can make things cheaper overseas, mainly because labor costs are so much lower. And so if we reverse that, if these companies are pushed by tariffs and other policies to bring that back to the U.S., the bottom line is it's going to cost more to produce these things, and higher costs for these businesses mean lower. Again, starting points matter a lot, and with the stock market today being as expensive as it's ever been, you start looking at those marginal costs, lower profits potentially, and wondering if that would have an impact on how much investors are willing to pay for these stocks. Now, really important, a lot of companies don't really manufacture things as their primary business, so it's not like this is going to apply equally across the board. One of the main points I want to leave with people today, Rob, is just that markets are priced for perfection today, and that includes a lack of volatility. And it seems to me that if you look at President Trump's proposed policies, one thing you would not conclude is that it's likely to be a low volatility mix. He's bringing the volatility. He didn't get elected to leave things the way they are. He wants to make big changes. And so we just really need to pay attention as these changes are made and as these policies are articulated and we see what's being implemented, how quickly, and so forth, that we keep an eye on the impact on some of these trends.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Well, let's talk about a few others. Let's talk DOGE for a second, the Department of Government Efficiency. We've been hearing about a lot about that. It was front and center even yesterday in his multiple speeches that he gave. And we even heard from Elon Musk yesterday. Apparently, he's going to have an office somewhere near the president in that complex. Is this on the positive side of the ledger in your mind?
You know, it's a tough one, Rob. I would say this is a lot like somebody for 20 years and, you know, has woken up and realized I really got to change my ways because I'm overweight, I'm out of shape. Starting exercise is a fantastic decision and probably got to do it kind of thing. But that doesn't mean that that's going to be pleasant initially. In fact, the first month, the first 6 months, probably going to be kind of rough, even though you know this is the right thing to do. We need to do this. And that's kind of how I look at DOGE. We've got to get government spending under control. We've got to address these ridiculous deficits that we've been running the last several years. But it is kind of like the proverbial eat your vegetables, they're good for you. You know, in the long run, you better eat them. We better do this. But it could be tough in the short term. And the reason I say that is just that today's government spending is part of today's economic growth. That government spending is largely jobs for people who are then making money and outspending that money. So as we cut that back, which we need to do, I don't think it's a crazy idea that that would include some short-term pain. And in fact, Elon has been asked point blank that very thing, and he's basically agreed, yes, this is probably going to cause some short-term pain. So this is a great example of the things when I'm talking about, you know, how are these things rolled out? How quickly are they rolled out? You know, if we come out of the gate and we do a whole bunch of government cutting before we've done some of the other things to get the economy rolling, you know, a little bit faster, well, that could be a problem. On the other hand, if we do some of the other things and really get the economy strong and healthy and running really well, and then we're cutting into that, we could get a different outcome. So a lot of it will be in the details of how they implement this.
Yeah, that's helpful. Let's focus for a second on a few of those things that we think will boost the economy. Two of them go really closely hand in hand. One is deregulation, the other energy production, both of which he mentioned yesterday, first day on the job. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, the economic argument for deregulation is really clear. It boosts productivity. It clears the red tape. It's generally great for business, great for investors. And the most obvious low-hanging fruit in the deregulation area probably does relate to the energy sector. This is a really important part of the whole Trump calculation of his policies. And I say that because energy prices are such a key input into so many consumer prices that if they can get some wins here and get, you know, some relief on energy prices, that'll go a long way to offset some of the inflationary pressures that we might see from things like immigration reform, the tariffs, and so forth. Those things are likely to be net inflationary. So we really need this deflationary impulse, hopefully, from lower energy prices and deregulation.
Yeah. And I assume, Mark, tax cuts would likely be bullish for investors as well, right?
Yeah, they almost always are. The only caveat there is the big one is the extension of Trump's tax cuts from his first term. You're probably not going to get the same boost from simply renewing status quo, the tax cuts that are already in place, as we did when he made those the first time. When you make new tax cuts, those are stimulative because people have more money than they did before. To renew those tax cuts, you're just kind of extending the way things are right now. But there are some new potential tax cuts on the table as well. We've heard proposals about tip income, Social Security income, lowering corporate tax rates. So all of those new cuts could definitely be stimulative and beneficial.
Yeah. Well, if I was 14 and starting a lawn company, I'd probably just say tips only.
Right. That would be smart. Good idea.
All right, Mark, we're about out of time. Sum this up for us.
Yeah, you know, Rob, the big picture, there are way too many moving pieces to really predict what the cumulative impact is going to be on the economy or the markets. I'm optimistic that these policies will cause the U.S. economy to do really well. But along with that, we have to keep an eye on inflation because economic growth and inflation often run hand in hand. So seeing how those play together will be one of the things over the next few years that'll be really interesting. And, you know, right now markets aren't priced for a resurgence in inflation. So that's one of the big things we'll be watching. All of this bears watching, but, you know, that's what we do at SMI. So if people, you know, want to keep an eye on these factors along with us, we'd invite them to come over and follow our writing over there and see how this unfolds.
Excellent. Well, there's one thing we know for sure. It's going to be an exciting 4 years as we watch it all play out. And I'm grateful that you'll be along with us regularly to interpret what we're seeing. Thanks for your time today, my friend. We appreciate you being on the program, and I know we've had a little bit of audio issue, and we'll get that squared away. That's Mark Biller. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. By the way, if you want to read a lot more about today's topic, the article we've been discussing is available to you. It's ready for you to consume at soundmindinvesting.org. Just look for Trump 2.0, using objective investing models to guide us through anticipated disruption. Anticipated disruption. That's a good way to say, think about what's coming down the pike. Well, folks, before we wrap up today, let me just remind you real quick, we are partnering with Preborn. You've heard us talking about it perhaps over the last week. We're extending it through a portion of this week just because we're not quite yet at our goal. If you've been following, first of all, Preborn is that opportunity where we partner with this incredible organization that is providing free ultrasounds to moms considering an abortion. And not only does that in most cases result in them keeping the baby, but then Preborn comes alongside to provide much needed resources for up to 2 years. And they share the love of Jesus. And they've seen tens of thousands of young moms come to Christ through the ministry. It's incredible. We wanted, through our partnership here with American Family Radio and Preborn, to fund 4,500 of these ultrasounds. We're at 3,800. We're not quite there yet, so we're extending it to give you an opportunity to get on board. So if you'd like to do that, just head to AFR.net. That's AFR.net right there at the top of the page. You'll see Preborn, the logo for it, and you can click the button to donate now. Every $28 given to this incredible ministry will fund one of those ultrasounds for a mom considering an abortion. Again, AFR.net. We're not there yet, but you can help us get there. Every $28 will help. Just click Preborn. Well, a big thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't do this without them. Of course, Mark Biller along today, but producer Devin, we're grateful for Devin's great work. Sandy handling our phones today. Taylor Stanridge providing great research and helping me navigate the program today. And everybody here at FaithFi that allows us to bring you this ministry every day. If you'd like to become a partner of ours, those are the God's people who come alongside us monthly. You can do that at faithfi.com. Just click give and we'll be able to send you a copy of our brand new publication, Faithful Steward. May God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.